entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hi, my name is Ken, and this isn't your typical podcast. It was recorded live, remains unedited, and is available to anyone who can endure a foul-mouthed Australian kid, Rammstein, and a detailed argument against most of the people I encounter from day-to-day life. If that's you, enjoy the next 2 hours. And eat shit.
This is Justin from Australia, and I'm sick and tired of high cholesterol fat fucks bothering me when I'm trying to tell you that the DJ New Style Show is live. Choke on a cake, fat fuck.
If she wants to dance and drink all night, well, there's no one that can stop her. She's going till the house lights come up. Her stomach spills onto the floor. This night is gonna end when we're damn well ready for it to be over. Worked all week long, now the music is playing on our time. Yeah, we do.
DJ New Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homeowners didn't touch it.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Hey, Donna! Have you shot the coffee yet?
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome one and all to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And listen, we are the only show that has this fucking band as a goddamn mantra. Which band? Rammstein! Ah! Whatever. Enough. Enough! Enough. That's my favorite thing, when people get irritated and saying enough doesn't suffice, so they say enough! Joining me as always, Shawnee Murphy, how are you? I hope you had a better weekend this time around.
Actually, well, I mean, 2 weekends ago was good. It was weird, but it was good. But yeah, last weekend was good too.
Well, good.
Yeah, it was, we had the follow up. We had the wedding this weekend.
Oh,
so
everything went smoothly.
Everything went smoothly. You know, no fists of flying. You know, smoothed everything over with.
You like saying fists of flying.
I like saying fists of flying. Any sentence with fist in it is good with me.
It's a very like circus carnival type thing to say, like to promote something. You'd say there are fists of flying.
I'm promoting my next upcoming bout.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. So everything's calm.
Everything's calm. Good. We smoothed everything over. Both of us, you know, said our apologies and all that jazz. So it's all good.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm glad to hear that you two made up. I'm glad to hear you're friends again.
Yeah, it was. It's good. It's good stuff.
Good.
So as anyone that's listened to the show for any period of time knows, you make me pick a song every week.
Yes, I do. Because I don't want. I don't. We like to open up with a little piece of a song. Sometimes the pieces end up being the entire song. Sometimes they're a little bit shorter. You should deal with it and just eat my shit. But today you chose a song. Why did you choose this one? What is it? Against Me?
Against Me.
Thrash Unreal.
Thrash Unreal. You know, basically about some dumb broad who gets all hooked on the smack and has to go through getting over that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, anyone who's been listening to the show lately knows. And I know it's not the same thing.
Shawnee Murphy is a dumb bitch who's hooked on smack.
I am a dumb bitch. I'm hooked on smack now. I'm, you know, anyone knows I'm not smoking. So I heard that song today, and it just made me think of that. And I realized, you know, how shitty it is to quit smoking, how shitty it really must be to, you know, try to get off the smack. But it just it kind of made me think of the situation I'm going through when I heard it.
Oh, see, so you're fighting the cravings. You're really going tooth and nail with this.
I gotta tell you, it's rough. You know.
Well, you know what? You're doing it. That's
good. Doing it.
It's good. So, how many days has it been since you started quitting?
Started quitting. It's been 3 weeks and 3 days.
Okay. Wait. Now, you did have a little bit of a breakdown when the fight happened, though. But you've been back on the wagon.
Except for Saturday.
Oh, so the wedding kind of, you were on edge.
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't on edge. So
you were seething.
I saw other people.
You were
smoking.
Looking at that fucking head table, just tapping your dress shoe.
I was waiting for shit to go down. It wasn't me up there. I'm like, I just want to be married.
Nah, yeah. So you had to smoke. I guess this is a peer pressure thing. So
it's not so much peer pressure.
Guess who didn't quit? Guess who didn't quit? Huh?
You're gonna give it to me again, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? You didn't quit. You tried. I'll give you that. You tried.
All right. I tried, and yes. But I'm back on it again.
Why don't you just light up now? What do you got to lose?
Because you'll give me a lot of shit, and it's not worth it. You're like a naggy wife,
no,
naggy
fuck
bitch.
You for even
when
thinking
it comes
that.
When it comes to smoking. You're just like, you know, nagging at me all the freaking time.
I don't give a fuck if you smoke. Smoke all you goddamn want, but don't claim to have some kind of fucking supernatural ability to just end the need for it.
You're making it out to be a, like, I like,
you throw down a little glass,
a
glass container of smoke.
I never said it was a superpower. I have a superpower. I can quit smoking at any time.
You take off a top hat and a fucking bird flies out of it, and all of a sudden now you don't crave it anymore. That's how you made it seem. Like you actually said, and I know what. Why am I harping on this again? But you literally said,
"Because you're a big douche," and that's the point I'm making.
I can quit. I can quit any time I want. Is what you said. So, yeah, I'm going to be a little bit rough on you.
Yeah,
I keep unquitting.
I quit 3 weeks ago,
yeah, fuck
and then
you.
I quit two Sundays ago, and then I quit last Sunday again. What now, bitch?
So you picked your song because, you know, it was getting a little hard for you. So you had to commiserate with someone whose life basically is ruined because they're on heroin.
Well, it was either that or you know, it's funny, in the iTunes playlist, you know, I had it sorted by artist order. So Against Me was there, and then the very next artist to come up was Amy Winehouse.
Jesus.
And I'm here in rehab. I'm like, okay, is there a theme going on in my playlist here?
Yeah. Every possible song come up. but I picked a little something for the intro. I found an archive of Justin from Australia recordings that we did back in the old Pal Talk days, and we didn't use this one ever. And he basically he says that he's tired of all the high cholesterol fat fucks interrupting his announcer duties. Like, I guess that's his role, announcing that the show is now live. And he's tired of the fat fucks dealing with it. And I thought it was an amusing little thing. We've been using the same one or two things every episode, but this one was one of the newer ones, and you could kind of hear because his voice is a little bit deeper. Like, he has more of a command of the language now. when we originally did it, he was like maybe 7 or 8. Just, he came into our Pal Talk room when I used to use Pal Talk and just fucking berated us with every word he might have heard his father call his mom. Just everything. And then one day, all of a sudden, he comes in, and now he's not talking. And we asked him why he isn't talking. He said, he typed, and I used the Australian accent, even on text, "I don't have a microphone." And when we asked him why, he said, "Because his father found out about the show and broke it." He didn't, like, forbid him from going on. He physically prevented him from partaking in the show anymore. But, yeah, he doesn't like fat fucks. Nobody does.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, it's funny that you just happened to find that clip today because I had a strange altercation with a rather large individual today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, Well, let me give the
nature of the. Is this a bump in with a stranger? You butt heads with somebody.
Let me lay out the scenario. In my office building, there's
NorCal Murph. I'm pretty sure it was not Frank.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm almost positive. Frank. Okay.
But there's a long row of offices, and they all happen to be controlled on one thermostat.
Okay.
So you've got a bunch of pretty slender people in almost all of these offices. Mm-hmm. And then you have one really, really big guy. I mean, there's no way about it. He is a big, big guy.
Yeah.
So we're all on the same thermostat. And, it turns out that he always bitches that he's hot. And everyone else is always complaining that they're cold. It's like Goldilocks going on here.
Yeah.
But so today I see one of the other people that's like three offices down from me. He walks by my office, and the guy who's kind of head of our building management is talking with him right outside my office.
Okay.
And he's got like a Mr. Rogers type sweater on.
Yeah.
He's got like, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Yeah. And I've got a fleece on at this point, and we're just talking about, hey, it's cold in the building. And, we're all bundled up. And the big guy is right next to my office, and he hears this conversation. And he starts yelling at his office. He's like, that's right. You cold people can put on more clothes.
Yeah.
I can't take more off.
See, that's my thing, though. I agree with this fucking dude. But the thing is, I'm not fucking gigantic. You probably walked around the corner into his office. He's nude in a kiddie pool.
I mean, the guy year-round has a fan going in his office. But so I hear this, and I'm like, why is yours the only office that's hot?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, because my ventilation's broken. And I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, I guarantee if we switch offices for a week, my office will suddenly be hot. So I start making up this theory that I popped into my head. And I'm like, dude, the reason your office is hot, is not because of your ventilation. It's not because of anything else. It's because you're in it. You are superheating this space.
You sure it's not what Jay Mitch is saying in the HeroesTalk.com chat room, where we are every Tuesday night, 9 to 11, during our live show? It's not the fact that he has his own brick oven pizza.
He's got a big fireplace.
He's got a pizza oven in his
office. He's got a rotisserie in there. He's got a whole pig up on it.
Yeah. He has a fucking clay oven under his desk.
So I tell him, I'm like, it's you. You're the reason why the office is warm. And he's getting all indignant and offended.
Hold on. He's the reason why the office is warm? Like, he's changing the temperature of the entire place?
That's the stipulation I'm making. So that's what I'm telling him. I'm telling him the reason your office, because it doesn't make sense. You walk in his office, it's 78 degrees. You go into my office, it's 68 degrees. You go in the office on the other side of him, it's like 70 degrees. You go in the office two down from him, it's cold. So only his office is warm. And he's like, no, it's my ventilation in here. I don't get enough air. And then I'm like, dude, you had it changed a couple of years ago so that you got more air than everyone else. They put two they put two ducts in. So then he starts making up these other excuses. He's like, no, it's now it's because the AC's off. He's like, if the air is blowing and the AC's off, it makes it hotter. And I'm like, what? What kind of theory is this? Just because there's air moving, it's heating up the room? And he's like, yeah, that's it. I'm like, no, let me tell you something. It's because you are four times my size, therefore you give off four times as much body heat as me. He's like, that can't be it. I'm like, okay.
How big is the office? Like, is it 10 by 10?
Maybe 10 by 8, 10 by 10.
So you're saying this man is so large that he is shifting the temperature of that maybe 10 by 8 room fucking 8 degrees.
Over the course of a day, yes. Over the course of a day, he's kicking out enough BTUs to increase the temperature in the room by 8 degrees.
Hold on. You're saying he's a fry lamp, basically. Holy shit.
I have no other explanation for it. So, all right, so... He gets all offended at me, and NorCal Murph is calling me out and saying BTUs, and then I'll get into why I'm actually saying BTUs.
Okay.
So he gets all angry at me, and he's like, no, it can't be. And I'm like, listen, you ever go into an office, and you put three people in the same office, and it gets warm in there? He's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, well, you're the size of three people. Of course it's going to get warm here.
Oh, my
God. He's still continuing to get offended. He's like, go look it up. He's go look it up. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. This is what's happening. So sure enough, love the internet because you can find anything. Jeez. I go to Google. Tell you guys what my query was.
Fat heat.
No, I go, do fat people make rooms hot? And I come across scientific literature. Like literally
there's been a study.
Mathematical formula. It really wasn't particularly about fat people. It was okay. Just talking about body heat given off by humans, basically.
Oh, okay.
And how much BTUs it gives off and how much energy it gives off. And there was actually a mathematical formula. And I shit you not, in every single one of the formulas that was there, because there's three different ways you give off heat. There's convection heat, there's radiated heat, and then there's breathing. All yeah. three of those things give off heat.
Jesus.
And the first two of those, the convection and the radiated heat, mm-hmm. in the mathematical formula, surface area is part of the calculation. So if someone is twice wow. your size, they will literally produce twice as much heat through radiation and convection. I mean, it's one of those things that kind of seems obvious when you think about it, but there's a mathematical formula that actually says if you are twice as big as someone else, you will give off twice as much heat.
You cruel motherfucker.
No, he called me out on it. He started saying...
No, hold on. You cruel motherfucker. This poor fucking guy just wanted you to not say that he is the reason why this room is hot. So yeah, he basically said, go away. Go prove it to me. And like, and you didn't take that as like a hey, this is my cue to not pick on the fucking the guy no, who I, clearly I, is I setting the office ablaze.
I emailed the link to him and like three other people.
now you included other people.
Well, because he and I were talking pretty loudly, and so like other people came by because they overheard what was going on. So I included all those other people in it.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
And,
yeah, no.
And what did he say to you?
He didn't respond. I think he just left.
Of course not.
He left for the day. He's like, fuck him.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, it's funny. You and I were talking last night, and yeah. At some point we were talking about, like, in the past, like, someone that we knew that, like, you know, you and I both used to make fun of. But this is someone that I was actually, you know, friendly with. And then mm-hmm. what did I end up saying last night? You remember?
You ended up breaking down and calling yourself mean.
You basically
had one of those like introspective moments where it's like, God, why do I behave like this? Why I'm really mean. Like you like weren't even talking to me. Like I wasn't even there. Your thought process was becoming the things that you were saying. And I'd like to acknowledge somebody in the chat. Apparently your buddy got the chance to respond here. Shawnee's fat coworker is saying, "Screw you, Shawnee." Into the heroestalk.com chat room, heroestalk.com. Wow.
Yeah, if he's so upset about being fat, he probably shouldn't put that in his name.
Yeah, I mean, I'm amazed that he risked burning that many calories typing such a long name. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, at some point
you
I was...
proved that
was,
fat people can change the temperature of a room.
Yes, well, apparently everyone changed the temperature of the room. Yeah. Fat people just do it just
well,
that
noticeably. Like,
noticeably.
8 degrees from
it's,
this
it's
fucking
linear.
Guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. Well, because you know what? I'm sick of the big guys. You know, this goes back, I mean, however many weeks ago we had the conversation yeah. about how big people make it uncomfortable on airplanes.
Yeah.
But now it's like big people are complaining that it's too hot everywhere. And it's like
I'm sorry. Mayonnaise just typed, use fat people as space heaters.
Well, you know, it's funny that he says that because like some of the other Google links that I came across were actually talking about like matrix style methods of like using humans for energy, like using human fat Jeez. To produce energy and ways to do it. So there was some creepy fucking articles out
wow.
there. And so right. that's pretty funny that he mentions that.
Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah, the fat people always do complain and they're never happy. And with the heat thing, yeah, they're always hot, but it always seems to me that they're wearing way too many fucking layers because they're ashamed. So they're wearing like hockey
no,
jerseys.
Not this guy.
Oh no,
not this guy. No,
he's wearing that like a see-through white shirt with like the ring on his back of just sweat.
He doesn't have shame when it comes to his wardrobe. Oh, he would put on a bikini if it was allowed. He'd be out there showing off some hooters.
Jesus Christ.
He doesn't care. So no, he's not one of those that likes to cover up.
Yeah, but he has a point, though. You guys can put on more clothes.
Yeah, but like, so inconvenience the six other people that have offices that are cold because one guy decides that, you know, it's too hot for him because he's producing too much thermal radiation.
Yeah. I mean, here's I have a fucking a plan for this whole thing. There's a rule, okay? Room temperature. That is the temperature at which humans are accustomed to living inside, okay? 75 fucking degrees.
Wait, you say room temperature is 75?
I'm going to even go up and say it's 75.
Okay?
It's pretty all high, right?
I'll go with, that's pretty high, yeah.
Yeah. Let's say
this guy would be dying if it was 75 degrees. Right, I'm gonna harken back to another story. I'm gonna jump in and cut you off a little bit here.
Okay.
But he and I used to share an office together, so it's like the odd couple at this point.
Sure.
You know, you got a little skinny guy, and you got big guy over there, and he liked the office to be at like 69 degrees at all times.
Jesus.
And I've subsequently actually gotten a little tougher when it comes to being cold because of my time sharing an office with him.
Okay.
But when we first shared an office together, I'm like, listen, dude, I'm freezing to death here. I need to turn up the temperature. Let me turn it up 1 degree. And I argue with him for like half an hour about this. Finally, he relented and let me turn it up 1 degree. I turned it up a degree. I kid you not. Within 2 minutes, I look over at him, and he's got a mean bead just forming, trickling down his forehead. And this is 1 degree. He's got trickling down his forehead. And he turns on his fan at this point. So this is middle of the winter now. Okay. Turns on his fan, and it's blasting up onto his face and his hair. He's got long hair, so his hair is like flopping around, and I can see like the sweat just growing on his. This is 1 degree. What 1 degree did this man? And that went from 69 to 70.
He was doing you a fucking favor.
You're talking about putting this man. Yeah, you're talking about putting this man into a 75 degree inferno.
Yeah, like when he found out that you were going to be sharing an office with him, he blew the frost off of his fucking thermostat. And he's like, you know what? We could kill him at 56. We better put it up to 69. I'll endure.
He's looking.
And
he's
here
looking
you are
at,
trying to take a mile.
He's like, there's no way that he can handle it. Look at him. He's frail.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you should just start arguing with him. Get him all fucking heated up. Say, hey, listen, I will. 1 degree is nothing. I need 5. I can't do it. He starts punching the desk. Fucking Nilla wafers come out of his drawer.
He just starts putting off more heat and heating up the whole room.
Yeah.
He's overcoming the industrial air conditioner that powers the office building.
Oh, my God. The rule is, here I have two rules, okay? If you complain about excessive heat and the temperature is below 75 degrees, you should shut the fuck up. You have no fucking right, okay? 75 degrees is a temperature that a human can be comfortable in. That's it. All right? Now, I understand there's no cure for it. Obviously, what he said, removing clothing or packing yourself in ice or whatever. Just shut the fuck up. 75 degrees is fine. On the other hand, if you complain, like you, on your side of the argument, if you complain about deficient heat, you're cold. And the temperature is above 75 degrees, you also need to shut the fuck up and put on a goddamn fucking jacket.
I think 75 degrees would be warm even for skinny people. If anyone's complaining that they're cold and it's 75, there's some serious issues there.
Well, what do you want to bring it down to? Let's change the rule. What do you think a fair midpoint is?
If you're going to do the rule, and the rule is at that point, it's shut the fuck up rule.
Yes.
72.
Okay. 72.
If you say you're hot and it's 72 degrees, fuck you. If you say it's cold and it's 72 degrees, fuck you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Only cold fat person in the HeroesTalk.com chat room is saying 60 degrees. I don't understand how you can be a person and think 60 degrees is your comfortable living zone. Like where you don't have to make any decisions or plans based on temperature. That's what we're going for. 72, I think, you know, to be fair, I think 73. I think 73 is a decent temperature, but I'll go with 72. So now 72 is the fucking midpoint. You cannot make a complaint if it is 72 degrees. You have to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no matter what. I mean, if it's colder than 72 and you're cold, you can complain. If it's warmer than 72 and you're warm, you can complain. Otherwise, shut the fuck up. If it's 70 degrees and you're hot, fuck you.
Valid complaints that are made, well, the people who are too hot will get priority. Because what can they do? In an office where...
Okay, so now it's 72 degrees on the dot.
Yeah.
Hot person or fat person's hot, skinny person's cold.
Yep.
You got to turn it down?
You got to turn it down.
But then the skinny person has a right to complain then.
Well, you know what? The fat person will take priority over you in that case.
See, this is what's bullshit. We're catering now.
But no, it's not an unreasonable temperature. That's the thing.
We're catering. You said and it is. You said.
No. What I'm saying is, if at a reasonable temperature, if the complaint is valid, the guy's like, hey, listen, it's fucking 76 degrees. Okay,
oh, hey,
I'm
fine.
Fucking hot. And then the person says, I'm too cold. Well, he has to shut the fuck up.
Is someone actually going to be cold at 76 degrees, though?
Yeah. I know one.
Really?
Quite
really?
Well. I know one.
Really?
Yeah.
She gets cold at 76?
She? Who do you mean she?
Yeah. Yeah, come on. Let's face it. The only thing that could be possible
for
someone
fact,
being cold at 76 has to be a woman.
Do you mean – yeah, of course. Do you mean the fact that Amanda has a collection of year-round sweaters?
This is my 80 degree sweater.
By the way, I want to welcome Reasonable Temperature Ken, who says screw the cold air assholes. Thank you. Amanda has a collection of sweaters she will wear year round. So in the summer, in the fucking summer, she will wear a sweater.
During the daytime?
I don't know what happened, okay?
No. What time of day is she wearing the sweaters?
Like what should I wear today? Oh, sweater.
Oh, for the day.
Yeah.
So like daytime wear.
Like
I can see like, you know, sometimes it gets cool at night.
No, this is not like
a little shawl around your shoulders.
No, it's not shawl. It's like fucking no buttons, pullover fucking sweater with probably a button down underneath.
Is she secretly Amish?
Here's the thing with her. Her parents love heat. I'm convinced that they love warm, toasty environments. So they've always had a hot house. Like whenever I go over there and I spend the night, in years past, they've gotten a little bit better with it. But I remember many, many nights in the summer just like I have to sleep naked and be on the floor. And my fucking, like, even like though I'm in like a spread eagle sleep, my nuts are on both legs still, just stuck. It's that fucking hot. Like it's painful. Like you don't want to sleep. You want to just pace and try to get to the next day. It's a punishing heat. And so I think that has tempered her. Like if you take somebody from Kenya and you put them in fucking Canada, they're going to have issues. Their environment is hot. Like, her environment is fucking hot. She had a broken radiator in college for like 4 years. So it was always like 102 degrees. She never lived in fucking room temperature. That's the problem. She's a fucking desert creature.
You gotta slowly wean her down, though. That means, like, once a month, that thermostat's gotta get a notch down.
That's what I'm trying to do.
You know what? When you move in your house, your heating bill is gonna be $1,200 a month.
You know what? I say you have a lot of sweaters. I don't care if you look like the fucking Michelin man. Wear every fucking sweater you have if you're cold. We're gonna maintain room temperature. We will fix you. We will fix you.
So what's your wintertime temperature?
I'm giving up my closet. Do you understand?
What's your wintertime temperature going to be? I just want to see this one.
I'm going 74.
Oh, my God. Your heat bill is going to be brutal, dude.
74 or 73, okay? That's all I'll tolerate. That's the highest I can fucking go.
That's the highest you're going to be able to afford, man. Well, she's going to run you into the poorhouse at 73.
We're getting wallpaper made out of fucking Pink Panther insulation. So hopefully every room.
You should get like velvet wallpaper to, you snuggle up against the walls. Yeah, and
Ideally, I wouldn't have any heat. Like, I would when we were working on the house, when the furnace broke one time in the winter, I was in my element. Fucking, you could breathe frosty air out of your lungs. And I just had a hoodie on. And occasionally I'd get too hot. I'd take it off, I had my fucking t-shirt. Just tearing down wallpaper, working on the house. moving around. And I go into another room. She's fucking huddled in every jacket she brought over. in the fucking fetal position.
She's got a thermos of soup.
Yeah.
She's got a barrel fire going.
Before I got my car, I had a really old Chevy Beretta. And the heat didn't really work out too well. I mean, like, it would get either really hot or just nothing. Like, there was no air. There was just heat. That's all you could ever have. And she loved it. But she would sneak the heat up when we would drive. Like, I would have everything off. And then eventually I feel like I'm fucking burning. Like, I feel like I'm on fire. And I have no idea because I know that I didn't put the heat on. I look down and it's on that red. Like, it was an old car where the dial was like fucking teal blue and then like purple and then fucking red. And you just turn it to the color you want. I guess the way you want your skin to look, whichever color you
would
turn
you like
it to
be
that.
Scalded or frozen?
Yeah. So always red. And then I got my new car and I got my current car and it had the dual zone. No matter what time of year, if she's in my car, she has the fucking ass warmer on the seat and the fucking heat. It goes past 80 and then it just says hi. So like 90 degrees.
What's funny about that is, you know, I've gotten into your car before, got to the passenger side seat.
Yeah.
And immediately getting blasted with 4,000 degree heat right in my face.
Yeah. I have to counteract it by going all the way low.
Well, then that's what happens is that you don't realize you then get like when she's not in the car, you immediately crank everything all the way down. So it actually says the word low on there.
Yeah.
And then I've also gotten in your car and you've been driving for a while and I'm sitting and you've probably just like built up this extreme resistance to the cold because you're like, you know, you're doing everything you can to keep out of that hot.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll be there and I'll be like, I'm like literally shivering in your car, like freezing my ass off. And then you're like, dude, you know, there's dual zone temperature.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, it's one of the things you don't want to ever get in someone else's car and just turn up the heat. Like, you're an asshole if you get in someone's car and you turn up their heat.
You have to be on a certain level. Like, Amanda and I've been together for quite a while. She could do that. Okay. She has the right to do that. I don't like it. I don't like that she'll just put on the fucking XM23, the heart. And now I got to listen to Linda Ronstadt and then realize that she changed. I'm like, man, what the fuck happened to my music? Linda fucking Ronstadt. Oh, it's the heart. I'll hear a promo or a station ID and then realize she fucking switched it. But we're on that level. She can go ahead and do it. And then what happens is, just like you, maybe I go and I give her dad a ride somewhere to pick something up. He sits in it for 5 seconds and says, I'm burning my ass. Can you turn this, like, and you look at him and sweat is running down his fucking forehead. It's everybody except her that goes into that seat, that fucking crucible, that just immediately feels hot. I don't know why. Maybe she might not have enough fucking red blood. She has oxygen.
Well, there's a lot to be said for girls, though. Like, girls get really cold. I remember, you know, about 7 years ago, this girl I was dating at the time, she would get in my car, and I have the heated seats too, but you know, I think you have like low, you know, you have like off, low, and high, right? That's what you have?
I just have, off, low, and high.
All right, I don't know why in my car there's like 8 degrees of settings you can turn on the...
oh, the dial. You have the...
I have a dial, and literally there's like 8 different settings, which is completely unnecessary because the instant you go past 2... It literally is like scalding your ass. Like, you're actually burning your flesh. But this girl would get in the car and she would immediately crank this thing all the way up. And I'd be like, you sure you want to do that? It gets pretty hot. Yes, I do. All right. Have that entire ride. She'd be going with it at that temperature. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's on you. I don't know how you're going to do it.
Reasonable temperature can is suggesting that Amanda might be a vampire. It's possible, but this is every woman. I'm convinced. Like, someone I work, I'm in a tough spot at work because I am fed off of a thermostat that controls like the rest of the fucking building, and I'm at the tail end of it, and only one of my ducts works. Okay, it may sound familiar to the fucking the guy or whatever, but.
That's another excuse.
But no, here's the fucking rub. For them to feel normal, they have to set the thermostat to 78. Okay? I feel the fucking 78. They feel a nice 73. So if I ever get hot, it's like, well, fuck him. I can't do anything. And that's why I always tell them. That's why I instantly agreed with the guy, but you discover that he was setting the fucking room.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You know what? You're talking about, there's like six offices in a line.
Yeah.
His is the third one, right in the middle. Okay.
Yeah,
so I'm on one side. Actually, another guy that listens to our show is on the other side.
Okay,
and he's hot. No one else is. You know, you have six people. One is hot. There's a common factor. So actually, I want to challenge him. I want to swap offices with him for a week.
You should
see if he's hot in my office and I'm cool in his.
Yeah, you absolutely should.
And then just prove it. But I feel like if I prove it, I might completely dishearten him.
Yeah,
that he has no hope at ever living in a normal temperature.
Every room he goes into, he fucking changes it for the worse. I don't know. It's something I have to live with. I have to live with fucking temperatures that I don't enjoy, and piles of fucking magazines, sweaters everywhere, and fucking magazines. Amanda, I don't know how she gets like free fucking magazines from her credit card. And so we have nothing but these subscriptions that end up in our mailbox. Our mailbox is always full with some new fucking issue from, like, anything. Like, I've never heard
Amanda
of
Amanda is
these.
Better at getting free stuff than anybody ever.
She completely is. And at first, you know, I was like, oh, well, God, it seems like a lot of fucking work. But then she comes home with, like, the bags of shit, and she wants to play the how much does it cost game. Guess how much I paid game. First couple of times, like, five bags of shit from Rite Aid, I don't know, probably like $20. And she's like, $0. I'm like, holy shit, how the fuck did you do that? And then I made the mistake of asking, how the fuck did you do that? And now I love that she does this. I love that we get the free shit. But I just am not interested in knowing the mechanics of getting fucking free shampoo and toothpaste and shit. Well, I took this coupon and that coupon, whatever. And I've been there when she does it. And she can get fucking brutal with these fucking cashiers to the point where, like here's why she's good, okay? She has no qualms about making a cashier feel like they're fucking worthless because they don't understand their own company policy. To the point where she'll present the coupons, hate that word, she'll present them, they'll scan them, they'll do something wrong, and they complain to her. And she now has fucking emails that she pulls out of her fucking purse with the goddamn, like, with corporate of the store that she's in. Because she doesn't want to deal with the people anymore. She's sent emails to corporate, gotten responses back saying that she's right. And when they say, no, you can't do that, she just puts a fucking piece of paper on and says, take a look at that. And then they do it. So now, like, her whole fucking inconvenience in this process has been washed away by shaming the person representing the company with a higher-up employee.
So basically, she put in a lot of legwork up front.
Yeah.
And now she's got, like, permanent cheap shit.
She's got a fucking system. She has, like, a Rolodex in her purse of shit that she can use in any given store. Like, she has her whole trip, like, planned. Like, people plan it. You said you alphabetized your grocery list like Dexter. Well, she, like, won't go to a store with just, like, a fucking list. She'll have a list, and then the coupons, the fucking rebates and shit. Just, like, she'll have it all.
God,
fucking...
I have no time for rebates.
Yeah. We've paid off a debt. with nothing but rebates. One of our debts has been completely paid in full by rebates from some product I will not name. That's all I'm going to say. It's fucking incredible. So I'll see the results and I'll be like, wow, that's really good. And then she'll go into the whole fucking thing. Well, I went to this site and I did this and I printed this out. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then like a few times after the guess how much I paid game, like, it gets predictable, right? You would figure the first time you look at the, like, oh, four bags, $20. No, $0. So then, like, five times into it, she'll show me, like, maybe four bags, five bags. And I'm like, oh, $0. She goes, no, $2. And she's pissed off that I went too low. Like I'm
yeah, like you were just figuring
like it wasn't good. It wasn't
like
good
there
enough.
There was no work. There was no work involved. Yeah, like all of a sudden,
$2 isn't good enough. I'm sorry, it's not zero.
She's living large. You're living high on the hog. Spending $2.
But it is fucking impressive. So we get all these fucking magazines, and I gotta say, I really enjoy it because I'm at the point now in my life where I enjoy the time I get to spend shitting. But I can't enjoy it without having something to read. I mean, this isn't like a brand new fucking mind-blowing thing. But I feel out of place if I don't have a fucking magazine to just flip through. Are you at that level too? I mean, is this somewhere?
I honestly, I'm a little confused because your shitting habits and my shitting habits are radically different.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not even sure. I mean, what do you even accomplish? Like, you shit. It's about 4.5 seconds the entire process.
Yeah,
and you're obviously not reading while you're wiping your ass.
Well,
so
you see, you're a big reader, right?
Yeah, I read a lot.
And you read a lot of books.
Yeah,
I guess you told me that you just got a Kindle.
I did just get a Kindle. You know, fantastic device. I gotta say, I held off for a long time. But I just got the most recent one, and best $139 I've ever spent.
J. Mitch is he actually has his weekly countdown of how long it took to get us to talk about shit. But do you use the Kindle when you drop your shit? Yeah, J. Mitch, just fucking, you know what? You don't have to count anymore. The rest of the show is going to be fucking shit.
Every whole show
from here on out will be a shit.
1 minute in.
Do you take it in there with you? Like, I bring my phone in there because my phone is like just a fucking just filthy. But like a new device, like I wouldn't want to bring that and shit.
Oh, what do you think? Like a cloud is gonna attach itself to the device?
I mean, like if I drop it in the toilet or I drop it on the ground.
How big a gap you got between your legs that you can drop a piece of electronic device?
I mean, even when I'm pissing standing up, I gotta flip through something at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you know, because that's part of where I'm going with this. It's not a surprise because your shits are last about as long as my pisses do.
So you bring yeah, exactly. You bring your Kindle in and you're reading a fucking novel.
I could bring like you know, a Stephen King novel in there and finish it.
I have to go through these fucking these busybody woman magazines that Amanda has. That's what because the articles are like a square on a fucking 8.5 by 11 page. Most of it's a picture. The caption is like Katy Perry on fucking Malibu Beach, and then like it's like look at Katy Perry, and that's like a fucking 1-inch tall font, and then like really all I read were 15 words, and I've read that whole piece. So I'll get a couple of those done, and I figure by the time a week's over, I will have finished every part that I'm interested in a magazine. In a week. And I'm in the bathroom for maybe a max like 2 minutes. Like if it's a particularly terrible dump, 2 minutes, but man, never just, over that.
I can't even comprehend that. And I know I'm the odd one when it comes to shit speed. I know this, but I didn't know that until I was like 20.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that don't know.
I didn't know it wasn't normal to not take half an hour to take a shit. I thought that's like how it was.
So like you reserve a half hour like for getting there, getting on the bowl, wiping and washing your hands, or is it 30 minutes of pure putting material into the water?
You know, there's no consistent there's no consistent amount of time. Like sometimes it's that, sometimes it's not. But pretty much, you know what? If I'm not there for half an hour because I don't have to be, I'm probably going to be a little bit more leisurely as I go about my business. I'm gonna, you know, that's my time.
I have gotten into a magazine and just sat there and get the toilet seat ring fucking permanently affixed to your ass.
Did you ever finish your job, like everything complete, and put the bowl lid back down and continue reading?
No.
Yeah, I've done that.
You really have? Holy shit.
When I was in high school, like, and so this is going back years. I mean, I know people
I gotta tell you, I don't think I've ever put the top lid down. I honestly don't think I ever have fully closed a toilet in my life. Maybe to clean it, but not like just to say, well, I am done. Let me close everything. I think I always have water exposed.
Well, I when I was in high school, And now I know it would be commonplace for people to have TVs in their bathroom now, but my parents just had this like
portable. Where the fuck do you live? Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know we had fucking Gold Coast Murphy over here. Jesus.
But my parents had like this little portable. Okay, maybe not commonplace, you douche, but it's people have it. It's not unheard of.
Yeah.
But my parents had like a little portable TV set with rabbit ears.
Okay.
I would take that in the bathroom. I'd put it up on the sink, and I would sit there and I would watch TV. I'd watch cartoons while I was dumping. I would I would make the most of my time there. And I would get the ring you're talking about.
Yeah.
I would be done. I wouldn't feel like getting up yet, and continue watching TV.
I couldn't watch. I don't know if I could watch TV while shitting. Okay, you know what? I probably would. But I don't know that I could bring it in every time like you.
Yeah, see, I brought it in every time. But keep in mind, your shitting habits are different because you shit, what, 3 times a day?
Five
times a day.
Yeah, five.
You shit more in a day than I probably do in 1.5 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
Now, I think we probably spend an equivalent amount of time in the shitter.
Yeah.
Yours is just done in small, rapid clips.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like... I can't even
comprehend that you shit 5 times a day. That just blows my fucking mind.
Sometimes it's like a peppering of shit. Like a birdshot blast. Sometimes it's a profound shit. Statuesque, even. But you know it varies. With you, I'm guessing it's always constant since it's like maybe one shit a month that you're taking.
And you know,
it almost has to be a lot every time that you go. Like you've never had that feeling of like, wow, there's nothing here. I felt like I just shit a lot of shit, but there's really just a little pile of gravel.
Every time. I mean, I have to courtesy flush, not for courtesy purposes because I don't go in public restrooms. Yeah. I have to courtesy flush. Simply to keep the toilet from ever backing up. I have to – every single log that comes forth must be flushed.
Yeah. See, I got through a period where I had to photograph everyone for an art project called duties.tumblr.com, which I haven't updated in a long time.
See, people – if I were to do that, people would accuse me of not keeping the blog up to date.
Yeah. You have 12 updates a year. Jesus Christ. So I'm shitting in the bathroom, and I have the wealth of magazines. Like another thing is, like, since it takes me a while to finish them, sometimes we'll get like the next issue before I'm done with the first issue, so they start to pile up. I have a subscription. Do you have a script? Have you ever had a subscription to Maxim?
Yeah, I had one for years.
I never did, and I guess we got one for free. And I can easily say that is the worst fucking magazine. Like, for I've always heard it, I've seen issues of it, I've you know, looked at it, whatever, for having the reputation of being like, this is the magazine that takes the celebrities and makes them sexy. They don't know how to fucking photograph a goddamn woman. I've seen beautiful women just look completely dumpy and fucking hard. Like this month they have Anna Kournikova, probably like 10 years too fucking late to be featured in the goddamn magazine. But the big thing is that, the pictures are in 3D to go along with that whole fucking trend.
That's just like begging dudes, here's spank material for like really desperate motherfuckers.
And they have the 3D glasses, like it was brought to you by Honda. Or some shit, or some car company. So like, it's a cardboard ad in the middle of the magazines, and you can the glasses are perforated, so you rip them out and you assemble them, and then you get to see maybe 3 or 4 pictures of Anna Kournikova past her fucking prime, just in the dumbest fucking poses. Like these photographers are so fucking starstruck from some fucking Russian whore, fucking former tennis player, that they're just happy to be there with her. Like, if she happens to fucking just stand there and in a beginning of a jumping jack position, that's good enough for them. They just snap it and move on. And it got to the point, looking at these, I'm like, who gives a shit? I spent more time looking at the 3D car that they had in the ad that contained the glasses than I did at fucking Anna Kournikova. Because they don't know how to fucking to take a picture of a goddamn woman.
So you think it's the photography that's screwing it up? It's not the material.
It's fucking bad. It really is the photography. Like, what's the one woman from UFC? The one woman who is that one respectable lass?
What was UFC? Her name? Gina something.
Ariane Celeste.
Oh, you're talking about like the card girl. Okay.
Yes. No, not the bitch who fights with cornrows. Cornrows and flesh shoulder pads. No, the one that holds the hot bitch that holds the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
They had an issue of her. She could not have looked more fucking just humdrum and fucking bloated. If you find the issue of Ariane Celeste in Maxim, the cover shot like is typically the enticing shot. Like that's what's going to get you to buy it. She looks fucking dumpy as all fuck. And you watch her on UFC, fucking fantastic. I don't get it. But anyway, I spend more time reading Amanda's fucking busybody woman gossip rag magazines. And I was shitting reading one of those, and they have a segment that I've noticed is a recurring segment where some nutritionist will analyze the diet of a celebrity, a female celebrity. And typically it's like a really in shape, hot kind of celebrity, like maybe one of the fucking Pussycat Dolls or something, like a type of celebrity that like never eats anything bad, always works out. And the fucking balls on this nutritionist, to they run down meal by meal. She'll be like, I had like a half cup of oatmeal and a raspberry. She's like, well, the raspberry is a little bit unnecessary for sugar. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's obviously working, okay? She could eat fucking Hershey paste because she dances fucking 16 hours a goddamn day. And you're trying to show this to some fucking bitch with an ever-widening ass who sits in an office chair and tries to not get caught playing Free Cell and alt tabs whenever the IT guy that looks like Keith Fu walks by her desk. So it's always that. It's like, I had one California roll cheating on a cheat day and fucking like all this good shit. And the most recent one that I read, they profiled Kesha. Now, for the everybody knows who Kesha is now. Right? Not exactly.
I think so.
Not exactly the picture of health.
She looks like she should be producing meth in a trailer in Alabama.
She's hideous. And she looks very dirty. And I would never think attractive or fit when I think Kesha.
That's definitely not fit.
Okay.
Not a doubt.
So usually
she's like a good maybe 1 to 2 years from death is how she looks.
So, like, they ran through her meals, and, like, breakfast was, like, whatever. It was, like, fucking pancakes or some shit. And then, like, for lunch, she writes, there was just a picture of these, like, blue candies. And she wrote, for lunch, I just had, like, some blue candies. And you know when it's some, it's really, like, a bag.
And the candies weren't even like, it wasn't even like a type of candy, just whatever blue candy happened to be nearby.
It was just blue candy. Like, she just saw fucking blue sugar and decided to empty the bag of it into her mouth. And the nutritionist, trying to keep her fucking job, says, well, since you like blue things, why not try some blueberries? Do you understand? Like, what are you trying to prove? What are you
the best part about
even the fat bitch?
I actually have some respect for Kesha right now.
Yeah.
Because Kesha's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to eat blue candies for lunch and fuck this nutritionist.
The best.
Fuck everything she says.
The best was for dinner. She's like, she starts it off nice. She's like, oh, I had some cut up vegetables and I dipped them in barbecue sauce. So she basically drank a bottle of barbecue sauce and had like a piece of celery that she found somewhere. the requests are like addressed to Kesha from the fucking nutritionist. Like, she's even going to see this or heed this advice. It's obviously geared towards the people who subscribe to the magazine. I don't think there's a person alive who thinks that they're going to be fit and look good eating blue candies. There's like, we're going to all of a sudden see Kesha as the fucking picture of health. This is what I read when I shit. I get celebrity gossip and busybody bullshit. Like, oh, who pulled the dress off better? I say Halle Berry did. fucking.
Let me ask you. So
idiots.
You're there shitting. You're reading these articles.
Yes.
I know how you get. You get emotional. You get fired up. Are you getting angry while you're shitting and reading these articles?
I only get angry when I see one thing. When I see that bony, sunken-eyed fucking face of Bethany Frankel. Do you know who the fuck Bethany Frankel is?
You know, I've heard the name, but I have no idea. So I'm gonna
this bitch.
Google this bitch
she
right
is
now.
She's fucking hideous. And I just... It's one of those like housewife fucking shows.
Okay, that's why I've heard the fucking name.
Just fucking hideous.
And oh, yeah, she's not...
She's terrible.
There's nothing good going
terrible.
On there.
And they'll have her like with a goddamn vacuum, just smiling with a fucking wonky eye and skull eyelids. You know, like with skull eyelids, where like your eyes are so far fucking back that your eyelids like go in.
There's a good maybe 7 inches between her eyes.
Yeah,
a face. Like, yeah. Her eyes. She's like kind of like an alien form, because her eyes are almost on the side of her head.
Hold on. Casey Alon is saying that she has been told more than once that she resembles Bethany. First of all, you need to fucking reevaluate your friendships with these people. Like, anybody who would ever think that's a fucking compliment is just fucking... apparently it's Sheepy. Sheepy, you're out! You're out! No, Bethany Frankel is the most hideous thing. And okay, maybe there are people out there that enjoy her, but when I see her just fucking offering household tips to people, like she's living the fucking life you should live. Bitch, I can't fucking tell. I stew in anger while shitting, and I can't put the goddamn thing down because I have to look and I have to hate. Must hate.
Does it actually like... Does it speed up your shitting, or does it slow it down when you're getting angry?
I think I clench, so it does slow it down a little bit. It adds, like, friction.
you clench up.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know. I can't fucking stand her. And Kesha, too, to a certain point. But when I found out that her dinner was barbecue sauce and her lunch was blue candies, like, you know.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think I've definitely got some respect for Kesha. Like, she still looks like a meth, you know, meth head. That really should never have left whatever southern, you know, redneck area she came from.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got some respect that the bitch is just like, you know what? Fuck everything. I'm going to eat blue candies.
I mean, they probably called her and they're like, oh, what did you have for breakfast? And she's like, I don't know what's going on. Blue candies, barbecue sauce. And that's what they tried to put some fucking segment together of it. Actually, Casey is saying that Kesha started on the Simple Life, the Paris Hilton show. Was she on that? I don't know. I'm asking. She was. Okay.
Really?
Like, as what? Was she actually like one of
she
the
she played
Hick?
A Nashville Hick.
She was one of the Hick families. Okay. You know what?
Nashville
she's saying
Hick.
There's
video, right,
there's videos of it. We'll have to. Wait, did she play a Nashville Hick, or was she like an actual family that they stayed with? I don't know, but I'll be damned if this piece of 2005 lore goes
the
unsolved
roving
on my
heiresses
watch.
Were playing matchmaker to Kesha's mother.
Oh, how nice.
The episode. So, yeah. So she was on that. See, I'd heard this whole story about how she was nothing. She was starving to death. She got in the Right Round video. And then, like, you know, she like was able to eat again.
Like, okay. Maybe they collected that interview when she was on The Simple Life. She was actually living on blue candy and barbecue sauce.
She just hasn't changed her diet. It's like people who, you know, get addicted to ramen when they're in college and never stop.
That's her comfort food, just to eat the fucking penny candy from some shitty log cabin store and fucking Sweet Baby Ray's. I don't know. Fuck it. I don't know. Why don't we take a break? It's the DJ New Style Show on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
I like your flow.
Hi, this is DJ Newstyle, host of the DJ Newstyle Show, and I've got something to tell you about. One place you can go to keep tabs on everything that's going on with this fine internet radio show. My Facebook fan page. Go to facebook.com/the DJ Newstyle Show. New videos, pictures, thoughts, questions. Go there, comment. I will comment back. I will talk to you. I will bring myself down from my tower to your lowly level. Address you and treat you as my equal, even though that's impossible. Facebook.com/the DJ Newstyle Show. You go there, you click like, and your friends know that you have taste and class, and you like funny shit. Facebook.com/the DJ Newstyle Show.
The DJ Newstyle Show.
Hi, and thank you for listening to the DJ Newstyle Show. I really appreciate you pretending to enjoy my brand of terrible, unlistenable shit that I throw down your fucking ears every Tuesday night. What you need to do, in addition to this, is go to theawfulhour.com, and you'll hear something like this.
So I'm like, okay, if I fucking do 85 the whole way, I can make this fucker. You know, I can get it back. So we're approaching Staten Island. My sister goes over to me. She's like, we gotta pull over. I'm like, what? So I gotta take a shit. Like, she's like, I got one brewing. I can't do it. She takes her fucking shoes off. She has her fucking knees up to her chest. It's like serious now. So I'm like, come on. Can't you just hold it? Can't you just hold it for 15 fucking minutes?
No, dude. When you gotta go, you gotta go.
No, I think. If money's on the line, if there's cash on the line, if there's real repercussions to you having to take this shit, you fucking hold it, you cork it. But my guess is that she was experiencing what friends in college would call the needle. Do you ever get that point?
What's the needle?
You can only hold a shit back for so long before you get these pains someone is stabbing you in the gut.
Yeah, I've dealt with that.
So she's beyond that fucking point. So I pull off the goddamn turnpike and we're in some shitty Wendy's. So I'm like, Joy, I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, you know, Joy, help me out here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we got to get this fucking car back. She's like, I got to crap. So she goes running into the Wendy's. And then 20
minutes. Better than a girl telling you she has to take a dump.
Yeah. And it's my sister, so I can't just tell her to shut the fuck up. Yeah. Because she's my sister.
So if that was your girlfriend or your wife, you're going to tell her to shut the fuck up and shit her pants?
Yeah, maybe just I'd make. Yeah, I think I'd make her just shit her pants.
That's fucking awful.
It's just for the laugh. Then we have a story.
The Awful Hour is a 90-minute podcast hosted by Veal Chop and Tony. You can get it and subscribe and listen every time there's a new episode at theawfulhour.com. The Awful Hour is a proud member of the Hear Us Talk Radio Network. Welcome back to the DJ Newstyle Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. By the way, The Awful Hour is releasing their 21st episode, brand new episode, tomorrow night at 9. Be here, hearustalk.com, to listen as we all receive it. As it is released, we will listen to it at 9 o'clock on HeroesTalk.com. If you miss it, go to TheAwfulHour.com, download, subscribe, and tell your fucking buddies and pals, friends, enemies, people alike, everybody. Just like you do whenever you decide to talk about, I don't know, ICU2, Shawnee Murphy, ICU2. How great is fucking ICU2? Fan goddamn.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
I know this question you've asked me before.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to talk to someone in the world? Name a country.
Any place. Iran.
Iran. You can talk to someone on ICU2 in Iran.
Serbia.
You can talk to someone in some mullah in Iran on ICU2. Serbia, yes. You can talk to a Serbian tennis player.
Camden, New Jersey.
Anything you want.
Camden, New Jersey.
You can talk to Monster Meech.
Nice.
And that's real shit.
And that is some real shit. Go to ICU2.com. And honestly, you can try it. It's free to try. There's big shit going down in ICU2. I'm not at liberty to talk about it. But I had a discussion with Kevin from ICU2, and it's fucking exciting. It's goddamn awesome, and it's coming very, very soon. I wish I could talk about it, but I can't. But what you need to do is try it out. Download it.
Go to ICU2.com, and you're going to be running with the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for Internet Communication. What they're doing now is they're getting ready for 2010. Do you understand? They want to be back-to-back fucking Bash Brothers. Get this shit going 2 years in a fucking row. Or is it three? I don't know what they did in 2008. Listen,
you got to assume it was something good, though.
I mean, the people have spoken. They've been doing this shit for, what, 15, 25, 30 years? Internet communication? I don't know. But it's goddamn good. They're not going to cripple your user experience. You can, whether you're talking to 5 or 100 people are watching you, it doesn't fucking matter. You're not going to have a degraded experience. ICU2.com. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I want to say. Go there and support them. They're fucking fantastic. You sons of... You dirty sons of bitches. Those that was directed to the people that don't want to try it. Everybody else, you're fucking fantastic. Did I go too far with that?
No. Not far enough.
I'm sorry.
It's all about high-pressure sales, baby. We're going to make this happen.
I'm sorry. We need a bit of an update here. We mentioned that we were going to be starting some kind of a project with the driving. We're going to record ourselves commuting to work. The driving videos. Where are we with this? I know I didn't. I haven't done shit.
I don't even have a camera yet.
Well, there goes that idea. Well, no, we can't let that fucking slip. Okay, you need to get a camera within a few days, and we need to start doing it. I have no excuse. I already have a camera. What I need is the mount. I need to get a mount, and I'll do that right away. Because honestly, I had something that would have been like I've had no incidents since we came up with the idea. So that's why I'm like, well, you know, why would I start? Because nothing has happened. But today, for no reason, someone decided to pull in front of me, lock eyes with me, and just start shaking their head. I have no idea what, like, in disapproval, not like nodding at me. Just like disapprovingly fucking shaking their head at me with a frown. A little side to side. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Like, I have to add the mm-mm. No. Like, that's what he would be saying.
Was it like a slow shake or was it like a fast one?
It was like a doddering kind of slow fucking shake. Like, mm-mm. Mm-mm. Fuck. And in my head he's saying, fuck you. You just fucked up. And I was at a fucking stop sign. And he was going in front of me. So what we really need
is a chase car to follow us and see what we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
That's pissing people off. We need two cameras.
So we can't actually get a camera for us to use, but we're gonna get a chase car and get a.
Hey, I'm just building upon the idea, man. This is gonna be grand.
One day it'll be a fucking amazing idea. So I look back at him. I just start shaking my head. I don't know what the fuck he's doing, and I start screaming through the goddamn fucking glass. What? 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 And then I look in my rear view, and as, like, he can't see me anymore, he's in my rear view mirror, he's still shaking his head. I think he actually had a fucking neurological problem.
He was just very twitchy. Like, you're screaming at some guy who can't help but shake his head.
But he was looking at me doing it, so I thought, like, I thought I inconvenienced him, and I clearly didn't. So what do? I imitate his unfortunate circumstances.
You're just mimicking
and scream
him.
At him.
You think you're mocking him. I'm surprised he didn't just ram right into your
fucking
car.
Piece of shit. I don't know.
Well, I gotta tell you, you know, I have actually been giving this a lot of thought.
Okay.
This, you know, the whole thing. So, yeah. You know, I've looked at cameras. I haven't actually, you know, pulled the trigger on it yet. Oh. But I've been paying close attention to my drives to and from work. Now, these are pretty long drives, you know, 40 minutes each way. I think we decided last week we were both about the same.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to be just bizarre, watching my commute. It's either going to be the most boring 40 minutes of someone's life, or they're just going to be laughing their fucking asses off at me.
We're not going to give them 40 minutes.
Okay.
Expect them to watch you for fucking 40 minutes. How fucking arrogant is that? Watch my entire commute from Tuesday.
No, I get that though, but I'm saying, but we had to talk about, like, we're gonna have to clip out shit.
Yeah, we're gonna edit each other's video.
That's a lot of editing, but
not really. 140 minutes. You know what? You pick the best clip of the week, and
you
send it.
You gotta find that best 40 minutes, because I'm realizing here's what my commute every day is. It's me sitting completely still for approximately 20 minutes of it. And then there's another 20 minutes of me singing in a falsetto and drumming on my steering wheel.
What were you doing that today?
Oh, yeah.
What was the song? Can you give us a little piece?
Just Like Heaven.
Can you give us a little piece of that?
Hold on. Let me turn on the music. I need the music to hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, fine.
I'll just put it on the background here. Let's see. The Cure.
Yeah, how about I play it for you so you can
all right, that works. And then the crowd can
get with it. And you have to do this in a falsetto, obviously.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm going to sing it like I was singing it in the car.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. I'm going to play this.
I need to zoom out my camera to you.
How much of an intro are we talking about here?
It's a while.
Jesus Christ. Can I just skip? Oh, is this the show me, show me, show me one?
Yeah, that's okay. How it starts.
I am so poorly versed in The Cure. I know, the one's up.
I hope you can hear my drumming. I'm drumming like an amplifier.
No, we can't hear your drumming.
Damn.
Okay, you know what? I'm skipping ahead. Here we go. I still skipped ahead. Didn't do shit. All right, fuck it. Here you go. Alright, this isn't working out. Yeah, it's not working out. Your audio is getting fucking clipped out. I don't know what the fuck. And anyway, do you understand? The fact is, I don't know that I'd even want to see you do that.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the point. Asked you to do it now so I could hear. I don't think I even. I'm kind of glad it didn't work. do you know what I'm saying? Were you really because I don't have your cam right now, but the people that are watching this live, they are seeing it. Were you actually drumming?
I was. You can't see it because my I was drumming on my desk.
Oh, but you weren't getting into it. You weren't doing. Like,
I was getting into it. I think the audience could probably say I was. Yeah. See.
Oh, okay. They're saying you were getting no imaginary like stick twirling.
No. I just I use the palms, like my fingertips and the palms of my hand.
Oh, okay, but yeah.
I'm on my desk.
All right, fine. So that's what you do. That's your main.
But I do that
thing.
on the steering wheel, and I nearly crash my car fairly often because I can't I try sometimes I'll have to make a turn and I'll actually have to have at least one hand on the steering wheel doing that. So I'll still be drumming to the beat with the right hand or the left hand, depending on which way I'm turning.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, I've been taking a closer look at how, I guess, my drive would go as well. I mean, you obviously sing karaoke and drum on your wheel and almost die. The yelling actually isn't as much as I thought.
You thought it was a constant 40 minutes of nonstop yelling.
Because it's the one incident where I think I'm being wronged and inconvenienced, and that eats up the remainder of my drive. Like I think about how much of an asshole that guy was to me, and that consumes it. But really, it's just one incident.
So really, because it's going through your head the entire time, but that wouldn't translate to camera.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, that part wouldn't, because honestly, the minute you start hearing me talk to myself, it's obviously not genuine. Like, God, can you believe that guy? Like,
see, I will talk to myself.
You do?
I don't think those thoughts to my head. In fact, I usually, unless I'm in public, most of my thoughts get enunciated. So if I'm in public, I suppress it. But
when you're by yourself and you're working things out, like maybe you have some kind of maybe a financial worry or a problem with somebody, like somebody didn't fuck, like you beat somebody up at a fucking bachelor party and you're just trying to play out how it's going to go. You just run through every thought basically verbally. You speak every thought.
And I'll add a lot of Jesus Christ to it.
Jesus Christ, he comes to me. He punches me. I don't know what to do. Fuck it. You speak your thought process.
I wouldn't say 100% of the time, but okay. Yeah, I definitely speak my thought process a lot.
With me, I'll speak the reactions to the thoughts, which are usually fucking loud screams of fuck or shit, or Jesus Christ is another one too.
Yeah, I usually, for an atheist, I see the word Jesus Christ or the phrase Jesus Christ a lot.
Yeah. Louis C.K. has a joke where it cleanses you. It really is like a fucking reset button on your emotions, just to fucking, just to vent, let the steam off. You say a nice fucking, just fuck,
expletive. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Or fuck! And then you do feel a little bit better. Shit! You gotta work the shh. I don't know. But
Shit, you know what? I'll say shit when I'm mad at myself.
Like that,
and that's fuck it. When I'm mad at others.
Yeah. Oh, you never use fuck for yourself? You have it reserved that way. See,
No, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm just trying to think. Like, I don't think I'll ever say shit at someone else. I'm just trying to think this through. No. Like, if I stub my toe, I'll be like, shit.
That's a perfect opportunity for fuck.
If someone pisses
stubbing
me off,
a toe,
I'll be like, fuck.
Stubbing a toe, you wouldn't yell fuck. You out of your mind.
No, I don't think I would. I would do a goddamn it if I stubbed my toe, actually, though.
Goddamn it's nice.
Like, goddamn it.
That's
you know,
like,
I might call myself a motherfucker, though.
God damn it is like what
like,
you
I wouldn't say fuck just on its own, but I would go, God damn it, motherfucker.
I will just, I'll say motherfucker.
I get, you know what, I totally turn racist when I'm swearing at myself.
Oh, no.
Like, and completely non-racist on a daily basis, but like, you know, you stub your toe and you'll be like, cock shit nigger. Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck does that, what does that even mean?
You just empty the clip.
You just use everything. You basically become a person with Tourette's.
I start to use motherfucker like a golf swing. Like I go back really slow and motherfucker.
Yeah, I know that one. I know that one. Yeah.
That's how most of it is. Like when I can't fathom. And I wonder why I have so many fucking floaters. I'm sure that I'm causing some damage to my eye. Or something, or my fucking brain, or some kind of nerve. Just screaming words can't be good for you. But it doesn't happen that often. It's either I'm screaming, or I'm stewing, or yeah, I sing a little bit too, or I fucking embarrassingly, I fucking freestyle, freestyle rap in my car. I purchased a CD from EricRyanMusic.biz. Which is our buddy Eric Ryan. He has a CD called Beats Without Rhymes. And it's like, for me, I listen to it and I try to make up the missing lyrics and shit. And that has been helping with me sleeping. Like, or not sleeping, rather. Like, the fact that I'm doing that and thinking has been keeping me awake. So Eric Ryan has saved my life. Except for, like, the one time when I didn't know how I got home. But other than that,
maybe without that, you're dead.
That's right. Eric Ryan is a miracle maker and a worker of genius. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah, fuck it. I don't know. So I guess, are we going to, do you think we're going to accomplish this? Is this something that is worth?
You know what? I think we have to do it.
Yeah.
I just think it's not going to be as brilliant as we thought it was last week. Like last week,
we thought, oh my God.
We thought we were preparing our Pulitzer or something.
Yeah.
This week we're going to be like, man, this whole thing's not going to be. We'll have to see. It's one of the things you have to play it out. And you know what it might be? There might be like a minute and a half of good material for every commute. Maybe.
And you know what? Maybe you just turn the camera on to document something.
Well, that's what I'm also wondering. Like, you know, maybe we do it as like a play-by-play type of thing. Like when something happens, you know, you say that, you know, because for me, like, you know, we talked about this last week. I've held steadfast to a no flipping out at people in the car and just trying to laugh it off. So
yeah,
you know, I could actually do almost like a commentary type of thing. Like, yeah, this guy just cut me off. You know, what the fuck?
So maybe we'll do that because I went to pick up some mail before work, and to get to my mailbox at the house I don't live in that I purchased, I had to do a U-turn.
You up to a full year on owning that house yet?
Almost. December, wow. December 29th. So anyway,
about 29 to go.
I had to do a power U-turn to get my driver's side to the mailbox because I was approaching, whatever. But in my neighborhood, for some reason, there's nobody that uses the fucking sidewalks. Nobody uses the goddamn sidewalks. Whether they're walking their dog, they're doing their shitty fucking power walking. People like are still actually doing power walking in 2010. Their stroller, like their fucking baby. I'm sorry. Their fucking baby.
This was you this time. That wasn't even on me.
Okay.
Casey, you want to yell at someone, yell at him this time.
All right. So they have their baby. I'm sure they don't want it to be hit by a car. Or they don't want to risk it, but they still choose to walk on the street. always. I saw somebody walking on the sidewalk, and they got to a side street, and instead of continuing onto the sidewalk across the street, they just go into the fucking road, and they walk in the middle of the fucking road. Nothing fucking drives me insane more than people that won't walk on a goddamn fucking sidewalk. Because now I'm doing a power U-turn, and this fucking walker is perfectly timed so that when I'm in front of my mailbox, she's just getting there. So it looks as though I pass her, and I have to do a fucking power turn, and I'm trying to get her, like to talk to her or capture her or some shit. And really, all I want to do is get my fucking mail. So that this bitch has the fucking gall to look fucking scared. And Steve LaLarper says, I have to learn to drive better. I have to learn to drive better because people are walking in the fucking streets. I'm forced to drive worse because they're. I don't know.
You know what I've seen actually, because you know, the same phenomenon. I think it's in your area of New Jersey where people do this, because it just seems like I see it all the time because I work in your town.
Yeah.
Where you live now, and there'll be sidewalks.
Yeah.
And people will be group walking.
Yeah.
And instead of walking on the sidewalks, because you can't really walk side by side on a sidewalk,
yeah,
they'll walk in the street side by side. So like three or four across. So now it's not even like, you know, you just have to like kind of move, you know, make sure you're not too close to the curb. Now you actually have to swerve and actually drive towards opposite going traffic.
Yes.
To avoid these people that are in this big line.
Yep.
Next time I see, you know what? I'm going to get behind them. I'm going to beat my horn.
I'm putting my life in fucking danger because these people can't bear to be a foot apart. Like, they have to be, like, well, there's more than two of us. We have to take to the street. And it's not even just that, the group thing, or the fact that, oh, the road has sidewalks, but in 10 feet it's not going to have sidewalks, so fuck it. No, there's sidewalks everywhere in this part of the fucking town. To the point where they're on a sidewalk, and then they just decide to start walking in the fucking street. I don't fucking get it. I don't understand. Nothing drives me fucking more insanely mad than this. And when I got in front of my mailbox, the woman stopped as if I was going to fucking talk to her. And I said, I don't want to talk to you.
You actually yelled at her?
I don't want to talk to you, I said. And she looked at me like she's fucking confused.
If you really did that, your whole neighborhood's going to think you're psychotic.
I don't know. Listen, I met my immediate neighbors. It's not her. She doesn't live anywhere in it. Maybe
she's
they'll
talk.
I said, I don't want to talk to you. I just want to get my mail. And she's like, excuse me. And I, of course, I roll up the window after I get it. I'm like, and why aren't you on the fucking sidewalk? Screaming inside my car. I grow balls when no one can hear me.
Once the window's closed,
they can hear like a fucking disturbance. So, like, they're not gonna actually hear the fucking words.
Yeah, but if they look back on you, they probably see like a guy who's raving like a lunatic.
I don't think I'm wrong. I really don't think I'm wrong in this.
No. No, you're not right. There's sidewalks you should walk on them. And one of the other things, so.
And you can't brush them back either. It's not like it's you're pitching.
Just give them a little nudge.
I want to like almost have like a fucking something sticking out of the car just to brush them back a little bit.
What if you pulled like right alongside, went real slow, and kind of like put them into the curb? Just slowly, you know, you get alongside and you just slowly cut your wheel.
That would be good, actually. I'd love that. Like just idle.
Like you wouldn't actually
idle into them.
Just idle into them. Don't even step on the gas.
Yeah, you can't kill somebody if you, like, idle into them, can you? Like, unless they
Not if it's the side of your car.
Unless they do their best impression of a Spanish soccer player and just fucking take a huge fall.
And
then you run over their legs, and then you're fucked.
You pull along someone, you push them with the side of your car, they'll just nudge them right into the
curb.
And
then you just mouth the word sidewalk.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, it's here. This thing that we have to shovel 6 feet of fucking ice and snow every goddamn fucking winter.
That would infuriate me even more if I had to shovel a sidewalk. So you have to in front of your house, obviously.
Yes.
You have a sidewalk. And then motherfuckers don't even use it. They go in the street that's being plowed by the trucks. Yeah, that would make me fucking insane.
It's summer. There's nothing encumbering you. It's a beautiful thing. Walk on the fucking sidewalk. They refuse to. But we can't take that knowledge and pay it forward to winter when the snow falls and gets plowed and compacted onto the fucking sidewalk. We can't do that because we have to clear the path. What if someone is to walk in the street and get killed? Well, they're already fucking doing it. I have to get my fucking spine fused every goddamn winter. I lose one fucking one movable vertebrae. Just fucking terrible.
I saw something that I think is even worse than all of this stuff. So I was in New York 2 weekends ago, as we've already discussed.
Yeah.
And there, you know, New York has bike paths on various streets.
Yeah.
So I'm walking past. There's a bike path. The bike path is completely clear of people. There is a cyclist hauling ass down the sidewalk, dodging pedestrians. Meanwhile, the bike path is perfectly clear. So I already hate cyclists on the road as it is.
Yes.
Now we've given cyclists their own path, and they don't even fucking use it.
They don't appreciate shit. I can't fucking tell you. I hate it. I absolutely fucking hate it. They just do whatever they want to anyway. Like the motorcyclists. Driving in the shoulder, weaving in around fucking cars and shit, just disobeying the goddamn borders of the fucking lanes. That's the type of shit that eats me. It just fucking burns me up.
Fires you up. You know what fires me up? So on our last break,
yeah.
As probably people have seen, I drink an insane amount of soda. It's really the most unhealthy, disgusting thing in the world. Maybe aside from my cigarette smoking habit, but. I drink a lot of soda, and now I buy 4 packs from the wholesale club.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to say wholesale club because I learned last week that our buddy Walter Sobchak had no idea what BJ's was.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the wholesale club. So now 2 4-packs in a row. Now they're enclosed. You can't see them. They're wrapped up in a plastic material that's blocking what's inside. 2 4-packs in a row.
Are these like liter bottles or something?
They're 2-liter bottles.
Oh, okay.
2-liter bottles. But 2 4-packs in a row, I've gotten one bottle in there that was only about 2/3 of the way full.
Oh, in a sealed, a factory sealed bottle.
Factory sealed bottle. I mean, literally, like, the reason I, you know, what threw me for a loop is, like, I usually, what I'll do is I'll throw a bottle in the fridge to keep it cool, like, yeah. Before it's even open.
Okay.
And sometimes I don't remember if I've recently thrown one in there or I'm cracking open a new one.
Yeah.
And so one day I'm pulling out a bottle and it's like 2/3 open. Or 2/3 full, and I go to open it, and I hear the snap, snap, snap of the safety seal breaking, and then the large amount of fizz that comes when you first open it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, I'm like, this fucking bottle's 2/3 of the way full. I grab another full bottle, I put it side by side to make sure I'm not going crazy, and boom, it's 2/3 of the way full. So I'm like, you know what?
It's a one-off thing.
I kind of laughed about it. I took a picture. I think I sent you the picture
of
it.
You actually did, yeah.
I laughed about it. That was funny. Motherfucker, if I kid you not, on this break, I walk over there and I go to open up the soda. Same fucking shit on this second 4-pack.
Jesus.
I'm infuriated now. That's 2 in a row.
That just seems – it seems like – I wouldn't want to trust that shit now. Like I wouldn't buy it again. I don't know. Fuck it. to me, that's like – it's like a mistake in the factory. Like what else is going on with that fucking soda? Did somebody take a quick sip? Pull it off the machine and just put it back. They have their lips on it before it press the cap onto the bottle.
Well, that's what you start wondering yourself. You're like, you know, hey, is this actually safe? But then you realize, I mean, it's got the safety seal on it. It's obviously compressed. You know, there's
maybe it was like a pallet that evaporated. I don't know. I don't know how the fuck it happens. They just fucking fucked up. If it happens again, you need to quit. What brand soda is this?
Diet Coke. I'm such a faggot. You know, it's like
at least get Coke Zero. I mean, that's the diet. No,
I would get Coke Zero, but they usually don't have it when you buy like the bulk packs. They don't sell it there. So I ended up getting the diet. And it, you know what? You really do feel like a fucking faggot. But I was putting on like 3 pounds a month because I was drinking so much sugared soda that finally I made the switch over to diet.
Yeah.
So it's worth feeling like a total fucking douchebag faggot. To avoid being a fat motherfucker and heating up my office.
I mean, I to me, the soda thing, drink the regular shit. Just drink the fucking regular shit. Because, like, I understand you don't care about your health. You really don't.
No, there's definitely no caring about my health.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, look at Michael J. Fox. You know what I'm saying? And then think about him before you drink more diet soda.
No.
He's the product of that.
Nah, I don't.
You don't care. You wouldn't.
No, you know what? You know,
because
what?
Because you're gonna get the. You're not gonna get cancer.
Once you hit your 10th year of smoking, you really have resigned yourself that you cannot possibly give a shit about your health.
Yeah, but you're not gonna get like the death that takes you quickly. You're gonna get like the fucking ailment that leaves you in torturous twitching, shaking your head at someone like me, who misinterprets your plight as some kind of a rude gesture.
I'm laughing at what's going on in the chat room. Steve the LARPer started talking shit about my smoking, and there's one of my buddies that actually was at the bachelor party and the wedding with me is saying, "Whoa, he broke down and had him," and I'm like, "Dude, you gave me cigarettes."
Oh, he had no idea.
Yeah, he apparently doesn't remember.
He's criticizing you, and he's the one who fucking supplied the cigarettes.
He definitely did it at the Doug. I took your last cigarette and you had to bum off Rachel the rest of the night.
Jesus Christ.
You gave it to me and I felt bad. You said, "No, don't worry. I'll bum off Rachel." That was at like, you know, right when the wedding started. Man, we drank a lot.
Yeah, you have no fucking idea. Like, he didn't even have any idea. Like,
he had no idea. He thought I was still going strong. And so the guy that's there thought I was going strong.
Someone thinks you're referencing Friends.
Well, I am drinking.
So is Rachel. Drinking, what about sitting Ross, here, you faggot?
Sitting here drinking a Diet Coke and, you know, talking about someone named Rachel. Yeah, maybe I'm watching Friends.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I mean, normally that's like that's the type of thing that someone would complain about on like Facebook and it would make my day. Like I enjoy when people kind of are inconvenienced to something that like that won't really like fuck them
it
up.
It means nothing. Yeah, it really like, does.
Like
mean
for life, it won't really fuck them up, but it'll ruin
this cost me like the equivalent of like 3.5 cents.
It'll ruin like a decade or less. That's the type of thing that I really like. I used to work with somebody at work. Obviously, why would I fucking qualify like that? I used to work with somebody at work. The guy left
at work and
wanted to have me go with him to the company he was going to go to. And so he arranged some kind of meeting where he would give me the sales pitch and he wanted me to consider it and make it like seem really nice. Like he takes out his iPhone. He's like, "Look, I just, you know, new iPhone just for signing on with them. You know, it's all run through this." Like just like a big salesman-y like fucking presentation. At some shitty at a Benzie, like a strip mall fucking restaurant, like I'm supposed to be swayed into jumping ship with this person, and then the whole thing ends. The presentation's over. We're going to our cars. I get in mine, and he looks down and like furrows his brow and says, "Oh," makes the "Oh wait, one more thing," kind of like motion with his finger, like points one more thing, and so I roll down my window. He goes, "If you want it, you wanted something to really get involved with," and he tells me a stock symbol. He's like, "We're all getting in on it, and this is ground floor." And so and so, the guy, he's his new boss. He went heavy on it. I bought about 100,000 shares, and things are really looking promising for this. So I'm like, this motherfucker is trying to get me to buy some kind of stock that it's like probably his buddy's company. And this is after he's trying to get me to work with him again in some fucking janky operation that's like it is going to fold. It's just, there's he even said there's no guarantee that there'd be a job for me after October. Like, that was part of the fucking...
This is part of the... Like, this is a selling pitch.
Yeah, I have a Greek salad... And a notice that I might not have a job after October if I go with him. And then he's trying to give me a fucking stock tip to boot. So I go home and I add it to my my ticker. I look at it. It's a fucking 3 cent stock. A 3 cent stock. And not only that, it's over the counter. And if you don't know what over the counter means, it's basically not... Like a fucking, it's
really
like
not a stock.
You're buying it through like the drug dealer of brokers. You basically meet some guy like,
on the street.
"Hey, listen, here, look, 3 cents. Here's one of the papers. You give me another 3 cents, I give you another one. You keep it in your portfolio. Push. Like it is the shadiest of deals. It's like it's obviously his friend's company. It's fucking hideous. So I've never removed it from my like watch list of stocks. And every morning, I watch it. I looked at it. And there was a point where it's like, God damn, it's 5 cents now. This guy probably is...
Oh, man, you would have made a fortune on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that was it. That's when, like, everybody but, I think, him sold.
They're like, all right, this thing's hitting its peak at 5 cents.
And you look at the chart, and I can't... I don't want to give the fucking taker out. But just suffice to say, the chart from 5 cents is a steady decline to its current price of 0.0035 cents.
Wait, so it's... You know, because you sent me... You gave me a little heads up on this, and I was reading what you had to say. And I read that as being like 3.5 cents. You're saying this is worth 35. What's that? 10 thousandths of a cent.
0.0035 is the price per share.
And that's in cents. That's not in dollars.
That is cents. Yeah. Nothing makes me more happy than to see that. Do you understand?
That stock needs to do like about 1.5 million reverse splits.
Oh, and like he had it, like when he gave this presentation, he hadn't left yet. So like there was maybe a couple weeks where he was just really selling it to me still, like even after this whole thing, and like just like I'd look over, he's like shining his fucking iPhone or whatever, and like he's like, check this out. Looks over and like shows me his fucking portfolio. There's like 100,000 shares. So, I mean, you know, three cents, he's in, 100,000 shares. It's like six grand. So it's not like a life-changing loss, but it probably was a shitty year to lose $6,000 on some fucking fly-by-night piece of shit company.
Oh, that's like a trip to Vegas for me, though.
The bragging that the fucking guy did about this being like the next big thing. He actually called it like, you know,
the next big thing.
You know, if you could have gone in on Google in 98,
you try to compare this to Google.
Like, Google didn't even go public.
Google was never worth cents.
And it didn't go public till like 2004 or 2005. And he's like, if you could have gone in on Google in 98, you probably wouldn't have, but if someone told you about it, you would have. Like, and this
actually
is,
if someone had told me about it and they would have hired me, I would have gone in there too.
Oh, man. And the best is like this, it's just the type of guy, sales background and stuff. Like, you know, he was always a nice guy to me. But like, I kind of always have the sense that there were other motives in everything he did. Like, he's that type of person.
You know, if he's in sales, that's what it's all about,
that's,
man.
That's what it is.
Like, they will be so nice to you. Anyone in sales will be completely, totally nice to you. But there's always that little thing there. Like, if you have a little bit of perception, you know, the instant you turn around, they will fuck you right in the ass.
So absolutely. So the very last day, he sends me like the proposal for this whole thing. It's less than I was making now, and it was a contract to be renewed in October.
That sounds like a good gig, you know.
And so I said, no, I can't. But like before I had gotten the proposal, I said, well, you know, it was nice, blah blah blah, you know, the usual goodbye shit. He goes, you know, you're an odd duck. And then he walked out. I'm like, what the fuck? You are not. Do you really want me to work with you? Like, I'm an odd duck. Sure, I know that, but like, you're trying to butter me up and buy this piece of shit fucking. God, I really wish I could tell you what the company. I can't tell you what the company is.
Why not? Like, you don't know this guy anymore. This is irrelevant to you.
Yeah, but like, the company kind of is still around. You know, like, I gotta.
And what, you're holding out hopes that contract is still being dangled in the air?
No, not at all.
You know what? You can still come on board, Ken.
I just don't want to like blow up. I don't want to blow up any fucking spot. I know, like, dude, I better not mention it, or everybody's gonna no. I just don't want to say the company name.
You might see those share prices blast up. You know what it is? You would have to give a disclosure like they do on Jim Cramer's show.
I own zero shares and have owned zero forever. In fact, I rejoice in the fact that I've never held a stock.
Yes, but does your blind trust own shares in it?
Let's just say if one of Billy Mays' products happened to be based around a company, and it's not... But that's about how viable of a company this was. It's like not even Mighty Putty, and not even like the Awesome Auger. Like, it's the shittiest of Billy May's products. That's the quality of this whole company. It's not that company. It's not related to Billy Mays Enterprises or whatever. Respect the dead. Tip it out. Whatever you got to do. But the most flim-flam fucking company ever. And it was already at 3 cents. And they're like, you getting it? And he always loved to use ground floor. Ground floor.
You're getting in it. On the ground floor.
Yeah. I remember he was bragging about, like, because he did what I did. He was a programmer. He was bragging about, like, some shit, like, that he was working on or whatever when there was, like, a really important meeting. And there were, like, people that, you know, were working at a deal with our company. I'm not going to go into any details. And he was there. And he happened to say, I mean, let's face facts. I had the idea for MySpace before MySpace came out. That's what he said. Like, MySpace was still kind of, like, big when he said this. And he turns to me and goes, right, Kenny?
And like, you were going to back him up on...
And when when he told me this, like, when this incident of him having this fucking, I guess, his supposed flash of genius, he described it to me as being MySpace, but for music. That's what... He actually described his idea...
He used MySpace in the description.
...as being MySpace for something. And he wanted me to back him up that he had the idea for it. I said, no, you actually said that you wanted to create the MySpace for music.
But then MySpace stole that idea, too.
They already had it at that time.
They've been
my response. My response was, yeah, they actually just, they have that for bands now. Like, you can upload the song.
So the first time he suggested the idea,
yes,
it was something that already existed, and he used what already existed as the basis of his idea.
Yes.
And then... later, try to refer back to that previous idea as a better idea than it originally was.
And the best was, he's like, we gotta do this thing.
You better not burn that bridge, man.
Yeah, we gotta.
You better keep that one alive.
Don't
name that company.
We gotta do this thing, man. We gotta do this thing. Oh, no, the company that he went to wasn't the company that was... Oh,
okay.
No, it was like his cousin's, or like his new boss's cousin's fucking company.
Okay.
That they wanted to pump and dump, except I know that he didn't get out. I know he didn't get out.
They pumped and dumped on him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey,
our cousin's a dumb fuck. So, let's screw him over.
So
let's,
like,
load him up with $6,000 that he's just going to lose.
So he continued along this line of, like trying to sell me on the idea. And, like, I went along with it because whatever. Like, who cares? It's just practice programming shit. Like, honestly, I got nothing done on that site, and I didn't get any reward for it. So it's like, it's a complete loss. But, like, he's like, yeah, dude, this is going to be huge. I'm like, yeah, but MySpace is already... He's like, listen, everybody's got competition. I'm like, we're two guys, and you don't even know how to program this. You want me to do this on weekends and shit. And so, like, I'm programming the site, and I'm like...
Ground floor, man.
I'm like, ground floor, dude, honestly. And I'm programming the site, and he's like, so where are we with the site? I said, where are we? What have you done? He's like, you're setting up the site. I didn't know at this point that
He was the idea man. You were the grunt.
Yeah. So, like, 50-50. I stopped working.
I come up with the ideas. You do the work.
Exactly.
See how that works out for me.
So, like, I thought he was doing stuff with it. So, like, after, like, this was 1 week into the whole fucking project of, like, even just trying to do anything. And then I stopped doing everything. And my answer whenever he's like, where are we with the site? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm working on it, man. It looks good. I'm working on it. It looks really good. And then by that point, I bought myself enough time that, like, 17 other music sites, like Pure Volume, just launched and shit. Like, all these other fucking music sites just came about. And he's like, oh, man, I think we missed our opportunity. I'm like, I'm like, I guess we can't do it. He's like, I got another idea. It'll print documents for this one office. He wanted to create a web app just to, like, print Word docs to help somebody he knows. I don't know. Anyway, enough shitting on this fucking guy.
Poor sad sack.
I just love when people fucking fail. I really enjoy it. And
yeah, I'm not so much I love when people fail. I like when people I don't like fail.
I love the people that are creating the names Ken's Investment Portfolio, Reasonable Temperature Ken, Ken's MySpace idea. It first of all, it wasn't my fucking idea. Okay? It wasn't my idea. I countered every time he fucking sold this. I'm like...
You got in. You were helping.
The way we worked is that...
You must have been something. That ground floor argument must have swayed you in some way.
Here's how frustrating
enough
it was.
Enough that you got in. You figured, I don't want to lose out on this opportunity.
No, you know what? He was my boss, and he's like...
You did the what if he's right.
He was my boss, and he's like, you know what? I'll buy lunch, and you work on it during lunch. I'm like, okay, fuck. I'll get free lunch. Whatever. So I did it during my absolutely, like, I don't give a shit, fuck it. So I'm like looking shit. I have one monitor with MySpace and the other one I'm like, ah, fuck it, I'll just duplicate the layout, blah blah blah. You won't even fucking know, like, he didn't even know it existed, so who gives a shit, as long as I got something to show him. Ended up not showing him anything. I just fucking, oh, the nature of how we were working, like, our work setup was the most frustrating shit ever. We were working on the same project. But we were always...
Yeah, what Keith is saying is true. You should have just given him the link to MySpace.
Yeah.
And said it was what you did.
I did it, man. And I got sponsors and everything.
And I sold it.
And you know what, man? I've been hustling. We have 5 million users. We have 5 million users.
This guy, Tom, he doesn't really exist.
Dude, I made Tom. Tom is me.
I'm Tom.
So, like, we would work on the same projects for the company that we worked at, and but we were always hooked up to a projector. So whenever he wanted to see what I was up to, he would just turn the projector on, and my monitor
would just flip your screen up onto the
keyboard. Years of this shit,
dude. That is worth stabbing a motherfucker for.
So what he would do is he would turn the projector on and flip it over to him, and he's like, "Look at this. We could do this." It's like, and it's all the sites that he didn't.
We could do this. What someone else has already done, we could do. Yeah, probably.
It was the most frustrating fucking work environment ever, and so Okay, I got one more story. Okay, one more story. This was a serious idea. Like, this was a legitimate business venture he proposed to me. Like that we should do. He wanted to get a list of CEOs for, like maybe the top 500 companies in the world, and create a fake chart and email it to them and say, like, something along the lines of, like, keep up the good work, and then send an invoice to their billing department for services rendered.
I think I've heard of that scam before.
That's what he, like, he's like, listen, we'll keep it under the radar. I think it'll work. like serious. This is like, because we're all looking for that way to get out of work.
You're looking for that real get rich quick scheme.
Yeah, like he kind of, like, I guess was at that age where it's like, what am I going to do? You know, like, I really don't want to, like, work to make somebody else rich. How am I going to get off the hamster wheel? That's what it was. And now I kind of understand that mentality. And I mean, obviously, his fucking means of doing it are just completely nuts. Like, we were talking about Halloween, and Amanda wanted to buy Teddy another Halloween costume. And I'm like, well, we got him one last year. Just put that one on. He's like, well, he's got, like, what, 15 Halloweens, maybe? And I'm thinking, like, well, you just put him in the fucking banana from last. But then that really made me think that he, instead of saying, like, well, what about next Halloween? Or next Halloween he'll do this. She really just quantified the total number of experiences.
How many total Halloweens he's got.
And that really put me on a fucking a line of thinking about, like, this ticking clock. Like, that time, like, really, we have nothing else.
Like a clock for you or for the dog?
Just everybody. Everybody has a progress bar. Okay,
because I figure I got about 15 Halloweens left too.
You think you're gonna die in 15 years?
So me and Teddy. Yeah, if I don't make some changes in my diet or so, my living,
I start
yet.
I start thinking, I'm like, wow, like, how many summers do I have left? How many fucking football seasons?
How many times do I have to pretend to care about the trees turn? Like, and will I see the fall foliage?
All right, Teddy's dignity. Listen, sometimes people want dogs to be dressed up. And they're most of the time they're women. Okay, I'm not saying that I picked the costume out. I'm just saying that when I saw Teddy in a banana outfit, I laughed. Okay, I'm not making it happen. But then it brought me to the point where like I'm thinking of I'm becoming really aware of like what working a job truly is. Like I posted on my Facebook and people were like, "Dude, I'm trying to get this. I just don't fucking get." And I know it sounds fundamental and like really basic because like we have to work. It's something we have to do. But like working a job is putting a price tag on a year of your life.
Oh yeah, I read that post. I had no idea what the fuck you were talking about.
It just I was in
like
this
I'm
fucking...
just like I just felt like my, I must be too stupid to understand what the hell is going on here because I just did not have a clue what you meant.
Because people look at work, they're like, okay, well it's something I got to do, got to pay the bills, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think people like really just look at it as like, wow, you're really just selling your life. You're selling your life by the year. You're putting a fucking price tag right on a year. I mean, there are people...
Yeah, okay, no, let me read the post that you put up. Because, you know what? You're explaining it much differently than you wrote it. Here's what you wrote. Just a reminder. For a person who works 40 hours a week with 3 weeks off, okay, you're selling a year of your life for 4.7 times your annual salary.
Yeah.
That makes no fucking sense.
Why not?
There's no way anyone's going to look at that and have any clue what the hell that's supposed to be. Like, if you said... You said what you're doing when you work for a year is exchange. You're deciding what you're willing to do for that year.
Well, you got to understand when I posted that, I had already worked out like the figure, the formula of what 1 year of your life costs.
Explain this for because I'm looking at this. I don't have any clue what that means.
So,
please explain because the way you're explaining it now does not feed into these random numbers you've pulled up here with okay. 3 weeks off and 4.7 times your annual salary.
52 weeks in a year. Minus okay. 3 is 49. Divide okay. that by 52. That's, 94.94?
Okay.
Okay. And then at that rate, it takes 4.7 years to... you got to figure out the number of hours you work, too.
So, 4.7 years to what?
I'm sorry. 49 weeks times 40 hours is 1960. That's the number of hours you work. The number of hours in a year... 365 times 24, that's 8760. So you take 8760, 1960 over 8760, 0.22. 0.22. You understand? So in 4.7 years, you have spent an entire year in your shitty fucking desk with your Dilbert calendar. And what did you get?
Okay, so wait, hold on. This is what you're saying then. So every 4.7 years, you've spent a year of your life at work.
Yes, in most cases.
Why did you just say that?
Because I gotta understand. I was in a frenzy of this fucking. I'm like, holy shit! This is what it is. Like my life.
I see what you're saying is you spend 20% roughly of your life at work.
Yeah, but you
like, see how much more simple the way I'm explaining this, or simpler. You know, your shit is so discombobulated.
No, no, no.
There's no way anyone had any clue what the hell that meant.
My point was that it comes to a price. You get so many years. We measure human lives in years. One of those years is fucking tremendously precious, and you have a fucking number now that you can tie to it.
Okay. So basically, if you work from the time you're say 22 until you're 67, that's 45 years of work. You look at it and say you work roughly 20% of your life. There you go. 9 years of your life is dedicated to work. See how easy that is?
But I'm not worried about the number of years. I want the price. I want the price. That's what I'm going for. Because
what?
What's the price? You see? You see? So you're working on it. You just look at it.
Man, numbers are not your strength.
it absolutely is. I'm expressing it in terms of price per year. It's just taking it to the next fucking step. That's it. Jesus Christ. Because look at it. Most people work something they don't fucking like. That's what it is. You work a job, you don't fucking like it.
I came up with a theory on that a long time ago, which was basically if you're making money enough to survive and that you're happy with, you hate your job. And mm-hmm. if you like your job, you're making fucking peanuts. Now, that doesn't mean automatically that if you work a shitty job, you're making good money and vice versa.
Yeah.
But the odds are if you really, really, truly enjoy what you're doing – you're getting paid fucking dick for it.
Hmm. It's true, but I mean, there are people that like that change the world and shit, and like and create art that like people remember forever. And there, some of them are rewarded handsomely. And I'm taking those people out of it. I'm talking about the people who have to constantly say, like, case of the Mondays, or, oh, I can't, why does Sunday have to go away so quickly? They're wishing away 5 days out of every week. They're wishing away 5 days. Like, when they post that status on Facebook, like, oh, it's Friday, guess what? I just fucking, I just shit on 5 days of my life so that I can enjoy two. And it just, it fucking hits me. Like, in 35 years, I'm going to be 65. That's like, what is that? That's retirement age. I can officially...
By the time we get there, the official retirement age is going to be 67.
Going with current numbers. What the fuck? I'm pounding the goddamn desk and shit is falling on me now. I'm going to be 65. I'll be retired, okay? 10 years after that, if I died, okay, I'm going to be in the category of people who have their death explained with, well, I mean, but he was 75. Yeah, that's the age where, like, your death stops being a tragedy. It's like, yeah.
So 75, so anything earlier than 75, it's like, oh, he's so young.
Oh, my God, he still had a lot of life in him.
You know what I would hate more than anything?
What's
dying, that? Like, the day after I retire.
And how many times does that happen?
Oh, it happens, like, constantly. You know what? If there is an afterlife, I'd be fucking pissed. You know, I really, you know, if that happens to me, I am hoping beyond hope that there is no afterlife if I manage to get to retirement and then immediately die. Because yeah. I will be the most surly, angry motherfucker in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Just don't even come near me if that happens. Like, okay, so you're a couple years younger than
me. Yeah.
It's my 65th birthday. I'm out of this place, finally, fuck all
lightning,
you people.
Lightning strikes me,
kills me. You know this now. You die later, sometime in the future. You say, hey, maybe I should go see what Sean's up to. And then you realize,
Don't fucking flatter yourself. Let me just enlighten you here. If there is a fucking afterlife, the last thing I'm going to do is catch up with people I already fucking met.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
That's fucking last thing I'm going to do. I had a whole lifetime.
All right. Don't worry about it because I'm going to be an angry, surly motherfucker anyway, and you won't want to be around me. That's the whole point I'm making.
I mean, it's all theoretical, right? So in your own interpretation, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Do you think I'm going to do everything I did before? Sit on the couch and watch UFC when I can fucking, like, do anything?
What else are you going to do? No, seriously. That's a good topic because I guarantee you won't do anything different. You'd be like, well, what am I going to do tonight? Nah, I think I'll sit on the couch and watch some UFC.
No, because I'm gonna.
I'm gonna
experience
what if he wants to play StarCraft 2? You know, you're not gonna know anything different. You're not gonna be like all of a sudden be creative motherfucker.
I mean, that's all subjective. You don't know what your afterlife is gonna be. Maybe it's just everything you've in your mind. Your afterlife is everything you've fucking experienced up to the point of death. So
you and me, it's just gonna be a rage.
So like when my uncle died in 91. He lived in a world without Tiny Toon's Adventures. He has no idea what that cartoon was. But in my interpretation, you can see everything. Everything that ever was and ever is. And you think I'm going to fucking hang out, no offense, with you?
I'm thinking you're going to have no clue what else to do, and you're going to just be as bored as you are right now.
Okay.
You'll be calling me up on Skype to play StarCraft 2 in the afterlife.
Why would I have to fucking Skype in the afterlife? I could make fucking Skype. Me and my old boss will make Skap. We'll call it Skap. Everybody needs competition. But, I mean, so you retire at 65, and you're deemed useless, and you've lived enough life at 75. That's a 10-year fucking gap to do everything and finish everything up that you've ever wanted to do. Okay? That's 10 fucking years. And then once that's done, it's like, well, you know, it's not a big deal. You're dead. Like, no one really cares. Like, at the funeral, they're talking about, like, the fucking, the latest episode of fucking whatever show that they're hooked on at that point. Like, they're doing that sideways.
People aren't really sad when, like there's like one or two people that are sad at an old person funeral.
Yeah.
But most people aren't.
Yeah.
Most people are like, he had a good life.
Yeah.
He had a good long life.
I'm going to say this right now. A large part of measuring the success of a life is the length of the gap between the age they retire and 75. The whole goal and purpose of life is making that gap as long as possible. That's why you're furious if you die in the first day of the
gap. I'll be so fucking pissed because I've been saving for retirement.
That's it. You could have enjoyed all that
retirement.
Money.
I have more retirement savings than anyone should ever have at my age. I mean, like, I read all these statistics about, like, the average retirement savings.
Yep.
And this is for, like, the entire population. And, like, they'll talk about, like, the average retirement savings of someone over 45 is, like, $16,000.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, retardedly low. Like, nobody fucking saves shit. And then I'm looking at, like, how much I've saved, and I'm like, man, if I die and I don't get to spend it, because who the fuck am I going to even leave it to? Fuck this shit. I'm so mad right now.
Hey, you know what?
I know I'm fucked.
Do you need a beneficiary?
I know I'm fucked.
Do you need a beneficiary?
You know what? Get in line because I got a lot of assholes that want to be my beneficiary. Oh, man. I'm going to be so, so pissed when
I. You know what? Don't even be worse for me. I'll visit you.
Oh, you're promising? You know, it doesn't mean shit.
I got to get it in now because once I die, it's not going to happen. It's fucking over, dude.
Yeah, but you know what? In my view of the afterlife, I can go kick your motherfucking ass for not visiting me.
Whatever. That's the instance of me that's in your fucking knowledge base.
That's all right, man. It'll please me.
See, like, now I'm really starting to understand, like, the lottery. Like, all my friends would fucking buy tickets. I'm like, you guys are fucking dopes, wasted money. How many tickets have you bought? Like, I totally fucking get it. I totally get it.
It takes a couple years, and then you finally realize, I got to get out somehow. Like you want to increase that gap. You're
crazy.
Right. You want to increase the gap between when you stop working and 75. I agree. You've got a point here.
That's the entire goal. Just
don't fucking put 4.7 years and all that stupid shit in your theory.
You got to understand, I was becoming frantic with trying to figure out what 1 year of my life is worth. And I was putting it in a fucking nice formula. Basically, just take your annual salary, multiply by 4.7. You're good. That's it. That's what 1 year gets you.
I still don't get that.
You sell a fucking complete year of your life. 365 days. That's all you get. And you're okay. And everybody's just like, that's just how it is. That's just how a lot of people don't even try to come up with the schemes to get out of that fucking circle.
Yeah, but you gotta start factoring your commute time.
That's the thing. I was being very generous.
Yeah, you're being generous. And you're also being generous with the 8-hour day. So
I was trying to make people feel better with my 4.7.
Yeah, no, really, really.
It's like two. It's really just two.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Steve. Not everybody gets overtime. Do you understand?
Steve's a baller, man.
Steve is a baller.
Steve the baller. Yeah. The baller.
I'm telling you, Steve is the model for a happy life. Just do whatever Steve does. Like, I look at his Facebook, and you know what? He's like, look at my moonflower that I grew. I grew this from seeds. This is... And I'm like, God damn it! Why am I not... I should be growing some fucking shit. And then I realize that the minute I would try to do that, I would just fucking... I would die. I would die, and then my retirement would go to the fucking state. I don't know. Fuck it. Why don't we just end this goddamn show? Just like my life is going to end the day I'm eligible to cash out my fucking 401k penalty free. I want to thank everybody for tuning into episode 273 of the DJ New Style Show. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Watch our videos. Subscribe to our podcast. Go to BestInShowRadio.com. Subscribe to them. They're on Thursday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern on Hear Us Talk. And tomorrow night, Wednesday night at 9, episode 21 of The Awful Hour, 9 p.m., HeroesTalk.com. Sean, you have anything you want to say?
I just want to wish a happy birthday to Steve the LARPer.
Steve the LARPer, happy birthday yesterday. And eat shit for living a good life and fucking ruining everything, you fuck, with your moonflower. Eat shit.
Elmo. Butcha.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Hasha. Hasha. Give it to me, baby. Give it to me.
Go suck banana. Fuck you.
Oh.